I try to use analogies of like houses or something relatable for people to understand. Just like you mentioned, when you start a new store now, hey, let's enable HPOS from the get-go. If you're building a house and you know how that house should be built for the purposes that house is going to have.
And it's
going to
be your family house, like for the next 40 years or 50 years, right?
So you're going to make sure there's space for the pool, the playground, or fire pit, whatever stuff your family likes to do. You're going to account for all of that ahead of time. You're not going to just buy a plot of land and start building away here.
Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to Woo Dev Chat, a Do the Woo podcast show. This show is brought to you by Avalara. We want to help developers make sure their Woo projects are tax compliant and done right with Avalara's API. In today's show, I'm excited to introduce you to our new co-hosts for Woo Dev Chat. Meet Marcel Schmitz and Mike Andreessen. Marcel runs PluginLabs.com, a small agency dedicated to creating and managing products and services for WooCommerce. And Mike, who is founder of WP Bullet, where he does WordPress and WooCommerce performance optimizations. They are both WordPress experts at Codable, and I'm guessing they use their developer skills in other projects across our space as well. Each month, in addition to Carl and Zach's series, you'll hear them have conversations between themselves and with the guests. Today, they dive into WooCommerce's high-performance order storage, or as you can call it, HPOS or HPOS, whichever you prefer. So let's join into the conversation.
Well, hello, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Marcel.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How's the weather over there?
You mean 200 meters from here? Well, we have sunshine. There is no wind at the moment. Not rain. No rain at all.
Finally feels like May in Porto. Spring.
Finally, right?
Yeah, no more rain.
So, what have you been up to lately? Tell me about what you've been working on.
Well, I have a few clients on WooCommerce who have been migrating and testing the HPOS update or HPOS.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of them are a bit confused. They are expecting huge performance improvements, and some are seeing some, and others are not seeing what they expected to. And so I'm trying to help them figure out what's going on, and also doing a lot of cleanup afterwards to help, you know, improve the health of the database, cleaning up the post table, post meta, that kind of stuff, whatever. Seeing what can be removed without breaking stuff, you know, that's always the fun part of what we do.
So that's funny, because I've been working as well with that lately, and I have been working with some rather small databases where the performance is probably not that much important or not that much visible when we do the migration. But there's another one, a big one, that it's reducing a lot of database size and also the performance in the backend operation, primarily because they do operate with a lot of third-party people that access order data, and they're seeing a huge advantage. But before we go into deeply into whatever we do, I think we first we have to agree on, is it HPOS, HPOS, how are we going to call this thing?
I'm good with whatever. I've never heard it said out loud until recently. Exactly. So I've always just read the abbreviation in my head. I think HPOS lets us move faster instead of HPOS. There's more pauses. So let's HPOS it,
I think. Especially for me as a foreigner, and HPOS is a mouthful for me. So HPOS, I think it's a good compromise.
Sounds good.
HPOS. Okay. So maybe we go ahead and explain a little bit what HPOS is, because it's been around for years, I would say. And maybe it's important for us to let everyone know. Well, people listening probably might already know. HPOS is just basically a new database table collection that WooCommerce introduced that will allow shop owners to migrate the data that they have for their orders that were and are still living into posts and post meta. And just talking about having orders stored in a table called WP posts is like already a little bit scary, right? Like, Okay, that's fine. And then we have the post meta, which collects all the information about the order. And yeah, that's an issue, right, Mike? Why is that an issue?
It's an issue because, you know, people forget WordPress was designed to be a CMS, right? It was designed for blog posts and pages, and then it blew up in popularity and people wanted to start using it for all kinds of things, right? So I have a blog, but I also want to have a store. Or I also want to have a forum. And then they sort of tried to use the existing database structure, which meant everything went in the post table and post meta. And the poor post meta table is probably, along with the options table, is the most abused or overused tables in WordPress. And so it's good to give them a break and let them be used for what they were originally intended for, I think, as much as possible. Because what can happen is, you know, the queries that when you're doing queries for orders, it's taking up information in the post and post meta. If you do queries for something simple like a blog post or something else that or isn't in those tables, then it's going to be slow because of something that's not related to that, right? And in the performance world,
right,
don't like things to be slow because of something they're not responsible for whenever possible.
And we do have only two tables to collect a bunch of information about orders, right? We are collecting billing addresses, shipping addresses. We're collecting order data, item metadata. So it's a bunch of information that gets per order. We get a bunch of 20, 30 lines, maybe less, maybe more, depending also on the plugins that you have installed. So for each order that is stored on WP Post, we get dozens of entries in post meta, right? And that's an issue because for WooCommerce websites, it's an e-commerce. They want to sell as much as possible. That means as many orders as possible. And the more orders we get on this system, the slower the performance of the database will get, because we get definitely millions and millions of records within PostMeta. And only the information about WooCommerce that is stored there is compromised or slower is the whole site, right? So everything that has to do with querying PostMeta, I cannot recall anything that doesn't go to PostMeta unless you're working with settings, which is not the front-end facing part of the WordPress. It's always querying PostMeta, so there's always something going on over there. And that's an issue, and that makes the site slow, very slow, right?
Yeah, and it can lead to, you know, when databases grow too large beyond the hosting capacity, the RAM, you know, you start to get 502 bad gateways or, you know, miscellaneous Cloudflare errors, things timing out, employees getting frustrated. They have to, you know, wait a couple of minutes to do a simple search, or customers who are trying to check out for the first time and they're like, I'm clicking the buttons and why aren't things moving? You know, these long delays, it costs so much more than just money to people, you know, new conversions, your brand, your reputation. You know, what I tell clients is you're showing your technical sophistication, right? So if things are not flowing well from a performance standpoint, then it makes you look like you don't know what you're doing, which is not good for your overall image and stuff, right? So, and then there's, you know, backup size too. Like, we forget that this stuff has to be, you know, you want to have backups, so you have to do a database dump every day at least and store that somewhere. And that takes up space. So the larger your database is, the more you might have to pay for hosting. And if in the event of an emergency, you know, restoring a 10 gigabyte database takes time, right? So if it was half that size, you know, you're going to be back up and running significantly faster, right? So there's just so many benefits to moving to something more streamlined in terms of database structure, especially for something as complicated as an e-commerce solution that's going to live inside of WordPress. So it's really cool there. This finally got pushed forward.
And we know that speed equals more sales when we talk about e-commerce. And there's numbers that that we can present to clients that show that. And so that's really attractive for especially stores that are competing with bigger ones. And if they happen to be, let's say, double as fast, that's not a difficult number to get. And nowadays, when you're competing with other websites, if they get double as fast as their competition, clients will notice that and they will probably come back to your store. And it's an overall much more pleasant experience if you're browsing through a catalog that is bullet fast and just working. I know we were talking about specifically the orders information that is getting stored in a custom table or multiple custom tables. We're going to talk about those in a bit. But it's also, like I said before, post-meta, right? It's everything else. So also accessing information about, yeah, just every single page, right? And so if you have a faster website, you have more sales, and cost here is not that important. And it's not that difficult to migrate, or is it difficult to migrate to HBOS? What does your experience so far tell us?
So I typically work with larger stores, or at least stores that are more complicated. So, you know, we're talking databases that are 10 gigabytes, 15 gigabytes. They're significantly large. So trying to do the migration inside of the browser, you know, it's relying on action scheduler firing and all this other stuff through those requests. And CLI is always my preferred method of working when it comes to this kind of thing, because those timeouts that exist in PHP FPM for, you know, the front facing don't exist in CLI. It's usually set to -1 or 0, whatever it might be. And then you can use screen, right, to create a session so that even if your laptop goes off, you know, it still keeps running in the background. And you can use, you know, the skip plugins flag with WP CLI. So there's a certain plugin that you know doesn't matter for the processing of the data for the migration or other tasks, but you know it's still WordPress is still executing because it thinks it needs to. You can skip that. There's just gives you so much more flexibility and power working through the CLI. So I think if you document things well, you know, I think we both use Notion, right? So you can make pretty documentation that's really easy to follow with the code blocks and this and that, and put our links in for the documentation that we find. And then you can paste errors and, you know, with the little collapse thingies to make it not take up too much space. So I think it's easy if you know how, right? It's a good quote in general. But it takes a lot of exploration, I think, in the beginning for professionals like us, that because we really want to make sure what we're communicating to the clients is accurate and represents reality, right? And there's a lot of, testing we sort of do to make sure that.
Right.
So what about your experience? Is that, do you find something similar or?
Right. So the little store client was more about the client coming to me and saying, hey, I have heard about this HBOS thing with WooCommerce. It's supposed to increase my website speed and it's a better way to store. I just heard good things about it and I want it in my website. And so that was it. And when we're talking about small clients and small stores, usually those are made almost 100% by the store owner. So they set up WooCommerce, they choose the plugins, they install the theme, they configure everything around. So there's no, most of the cases, there's no technical background and they just go with tutorials and information they find online and they just start building their website, right? And then it suddenly becomes a successful business. They have sales, they have people coming in. They have more products that they want to display. And it eventually comes to a point where they need professional help, right? And sometimes it's easier things like changing plugins behaviors or adding features to the existing plugins. Sometimes it's performance. Yesterday it was running fast. Today it's not opening at all. So there's a bunch of stuff. And lately I have been having other clients coming in saying, I heard about HBOS and how can I... Can I press here this button and activate it? It says here it is not compatible with 44 plugins that I have installed. I'm just exaggerating a little bit, but we do have websites that have like on the 40, 50, 60 plugins installed in this kind of clients where they do everything by themselves. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there's compromises when it comes to installing so many plugins. So when activating HBOS, it's going to tell you which plugins are not compatible, but there are two ways we're going to do this. And this first client that I had had a bunch of dozens of plugins, and we had two situations. One was there were plugins that were not declaring that they were compatible with HBOS, which you as a plugin author should definitely look out for and specifically and explicitly say you're compatible with HBOS. And there are other ones who will be scanned by WooCommerce and show as potentially incompatible with HBOS. And so there are different modes when you activate HBOS, right? So there's the legacy mode. There is the pure mode, let's call it like that. And there's also one that allows you to go back to the previous version. And so the decision here is eventually what can I do with these plugins, right? So what can I just uninstall them? Can I contact the authors? So basically, most of the clients that were not able to migrate to HBOS right now were because plugin authors didn't support this correctly. And that has been my experience so far. So I had a bunch of clients coming in asking for this and me having to explain sometimes in during non-paid hours why it's not compatible. Just two cases right now, one small and one very, very big, where they said, yeah, we know about this. We know you need time for discovery to just go through all the plugins list and make sure that they are compatible. That's super important. And also to make sure that you rehearse this migration or that you do testing before you actually commit to the client and go and say, yes, we can migrate successfully. I'll make sure that works. So I don't know about you, but I feel like you cannot say to the client, well, we'll do this for sure. Stay rest. Just go back, do your thing, sell your products. And when you come back in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 8 weeks, it's going to be migrated to HBOS. That doesn't work like that, right?
No, like I think in general, especially with performance related work too, like whenever clients are looking for guarantees in terms of specific numbers or specific outcomes, I usually say like, look, tech stuff is complicated and I guarantee you I'll do my best and I will give you my best efforts and be as thorough as humanly possible and, you know, be very honest and transparent throughout the whole process. And then the hope is to get you all of the outcomes that you want, but trying to guarantee that I think is dangerous in general when it comes to tech, because there are just so many unknowns, especially when it's uncharted territory with something so new like this that's finally getting put into production servers. Like there's going to be a lot of quirks that were perhaps unanticipated, you know? So yeah, I think it's safer to say, you know, I think clients really appreciate when you're just honest and upfront with them and say, look, we're going to try and do this. And if they're in, if they've been in the e-commerce world for long enough, they sort of know that's just how things go, right? And this is a big one, right? So it's good practice for them to get used to how this process goes if they haven't tried something like this before.
It's a big one, and we kind of forget we're dealing with huge databases in your case, and in my last client case, it's around 8 million records in the post meta, and 6 million or 7 million of them are related to orders. So there's a lot of things that can go wrong, right? It's not like you switch a button, you wait for some action scheduler to run any actions, and it's done. And like you said, you could do that, right? So you could rely on PHP to do all the conversion. PHP was never meant to be a long-running task at all. It was meant to be the fastest I can get my work done, the better kind of scripting language. So obviously, CLI comes to rescue here, and WP CLI has all the tools that you need to do the migration and to do the cleanup, which we're going to talk also a little bit about. But let's maybe just start about explaining a little bit what HBOS does in the background, what it is, and how it works. Maybe I'll go ahead and start. We talked about posts and post meta. And we also talked about how big those tables can get. So what HBOS does, it creates a bunch of new tables to store order information, right? And it used to be, I'm always using the past tense here because every single WordPress, WooCommerce project that I'm going to take on right now, I'm just going to start by saying, let's just switch to HBOS, right? It's you want a new plugin, you wanted this, you wanted that. Okay, but hear me out. There's this HBOS thing that we should highly encourage people to adopt and to change. And let's just start with that. And if the store is small enough, then it shouldn't be a big of a deal and it should be possible, right? But so HBOS creates this number of different tables. And instead of having 30, 40 lines with different information about the order, we now have different tables, and each of that specific information has its own column. So we can query about sales data, about customer data, about items that belong to the order. All of that is nicely organized into different tables. And that just makes it a lot easier for data to be queried and first to collect data, right?
Yeah.
And so the number one reason that I found out why plugins are not incompatible is they do get the post meta directly using the get post meta function from WordPress, right? And that's 10 years ago, that would be fine, or 8 years, or how many years at the beginning, because there were no other ways to get information. But there is the get meta function when you instance an order with WC get order, and that's the correct way to use it. And the way that this is done is, no matter which mode you're on, legacy or off or on or whatever, it's going to always work with get meta. And that's the safest way to go. And so my experience was, when I was looking into plugins and trying to figure out why they're not compatible, either they're making direct queries to the database and using the post meta table, which is the worst way to go about it. Worst way, but also probably the fastest way. But well, in this case, it is, well, let's consider it worse, because we're hoping that every plugin author out there that works with e-commerce is wanting to help customers getting their stores updated and into the latest technology. So they should push towards HBOS as well. And that's the number one difficulty I'm seeing. But you told me the other day that you had difficulties with the cleanup. And let's maybe just start by explaining what cleanup is.
Yeah, so we talked about this on our way to Squash, actually, right, last week.
Right.
You were telling me how the legacy table, like the legacy mode, means that it's a copy, like, of all of the orders and metadata is still saved in the post and post meta table when that mode is enabled. And a lot of the two clients that I was working with, or that I am still working with, one of them still has legacy mode enabled, and she has a freebie style WooCommerce solution. So she gives a lot away, but people end up creating an account. There's orders and all of those things go into the tables, right? So her database is, I think, 15 gigs large or something. And when I, after you told me that, I started digging in, and she still has all of the shop, you know, the shop order post types in the post table, which I learned still need to stay there for, like, even if you do the full HPOS migration, if you came from like the older stack, you still need to keep them. But her post meta, she had over a million, 1.5 million, something crazy like that. And she didn't know that, right? And so she's like a lower budget client in general. So her site was crashing because she's running out of RAM for the database to be functioning. And, you know, paying more money for hosting because your customers, quote unquote, right, who aren't giving you any money or taking up space in the database, costing you, it doesn't really make business sense. So a couple of years ago, I did a cleanup for her to delete all of the customers that aren't giving her any money, and we saved a few gigabytes there. But now with this cleanup, we're going to reduce the database by half by getting rid of the legacy data, at least in post meta. I told her we'll keep the shop orders that will turn into shop order placehold in the meantime, and then we'll set something in the future in the year or two to clean it up. So, and there are these tools that WooCommerce have provided to do the deletion for you. And it lets you run things in batches, which is really cool. So you can do like a batch size. I did 1,000 for her because she had, I think, 47,000 or something crazy. Oh, that was the number of customers. But anyway, she had a lot to delete. And that's why CLI is so powerful, right? You just sort of like I ran it in a screen and then just let it run for the, it only took about an hour or so too, which was pretty impressive, I thought. And it was spitting out some errors, which I think I screenshotted and sent to you. And I was like, oh, maybe it's not actually doing anything. But I used CLI to check the database size and do the order by to show the biggest tables. And her post meta still went from, it was 10 gigabytes down to less than 6, I think. So I was like, oh, it's actually, like, even though I'm getting these errors from the tool, it still is clearly working. So there's probably some minor bug or whatever. So, yeah, that's how the cleanup is going for on her site. And I've been doing, I think I've done 3 tests over the weekend, right? Like when I did one test cleaning up the users with no orders, when you run the WooCommerce customer delete function in CLI, you have to specify a user to run the command as, right? And that has to be an admin user. And I was using her admin ID and she doesn't have any orders. So guess what happened during the screen?
Right.
I think it was like halfway through, I started getting errors and I was like, oh, like I deleted the person who was executing the orders from the CLI's perspective. So those are the kind of quirks, right, that can emerge when we're doing large scale migrations like this, that you're like, oh, that wasn't, you know, I didn't think of her as a customer, right? Because she doesn't have the customer role, but she still has total spent is 0 in the database, right? So she got flagged as someone not giving, not spending any money, right? Which is also accurate. So I added some clauses to skip administrators and if the user ID equals her to not execute it, right? So it's fun. You know, this is the kind of cool stuff we get to do.
And also, okay, so maybe we should go back a little bit and explain. So there's the legacy mode, which basically means we're going to keep doing whatever we do, which is storing order information in posts and post meta. There's the high performance order storage mode, which is the one that we're talking about with the new tables and the information being saved elsewhere. So when we're talking about activating this mode, we were talking about there's a first step that gets all the information from the orders, from the posts and post meta, and stores it into this new tables that are created for this HPOS environment. And then you can actually decide 2 things, either enable compatibility mode, which will synchronize the information between both tables or both systems, which is the one that our clients do not want, because we're actually increasing the database size and not diminishing. And then there's another one which disables the compatibility mode, which makes us have to be 100% compatible with this mode. Means that, and when I say we as taking care of, as the expert taking care of the client's website, we have to make sure that the plugins are all compatible. And sometimes we don't have that. And sometimes we do get into plugins and we do maybe extensions to those plugins to fix some of the errors if we can. Sometimes we extract the feature that they want, and if the client has the budget, we do have to go in and code that extra bit of functionality that they're expecting from this plugin and do on our own. So this last client that we did, we had 3 plugins that were not compatible, but it was one of those cases where the client says, yeah, I need 10% of the 100 features of this plugin offers. That's why I installed it. And so it was easy for us to extract all those different 10% of all these plugins and create our own. And so with that, we completely eliminated the necessity for the compatibility mode. And so post-meta reduced. I was actually looking while we were talking to the real number of how many records I had in post-meta. And it was actually 15 million lines. I don't know how big the database is. I've never saw the size of it because I who cares if it's 10 giga, 20 giga. It's enormous. It's like, it comes to a point where you don't really care how big it is. It's this in this case, the client is paying for whatever space is needed. It increases the cost of the hosting, so it's auto expanding. Obviously, this is a concern for the client as well. It will come as a benefit to not have to expand for space and the backup, as you were saying before. But it does provide performance improvement. So then has been reduced to 4 million lines or 3 million lines. And we're talking about a website which is in operation with WooCommerce since version 2.6, 2016. So it's been 8 years in operation. So you can imagine like how much ancient or antique data it has, and ways to store information, and how difficult that should have been, or more difficult than it was. It was actually very smooth, and the whole experience that we had converting all those orders. I mean, I haven't checked orders from 2016 and 2018 if all the information is there, but really, I don't think anybody cares. As long as we reduce the database, the performance gets better, and let's say the most recent 5, 6, 7 years are there for people to go back and consult. That's what matters. And it, so in my case, the cleanup then after moving everything to these custom tables, the cleanup was also done in batches. But then when I was confident that the post meta was getting cleaned, the orders were still on the back end, the orders were still on the front end, so everything was cool, I just executed all of them, and we got a much cleaner database, and that's very, very good when we get to that point.
Yeah. Did you have any monitoring enabled? Like, I have one client, that we have New Relic enabled, and so we're timing, you know, we're collecting the data and query time for the heaviest database query, so we can, and the overall processing time from PHP and MySQL, so that we can actually see the measurable difference, right? Because if you, the savvy store owners know that, you know, performance equals money, and if you can reduce that processing time by just 20%, right? Like, that means checkout's going to get faster, adding to cart, etc. I'm curious if this store owner has anything like that.
So in this particular case, we do have the ability to monitor that, but we did not monitor before we converted, because the main concern there was to improve performance overall. It was not specifically for HBOS. HBOS was a component of a whole project. So it was more about fixing HTML stuff on the front end that was just causing some CLS issues. It was causing some other performance issues. And the project was more about getting the performance better, and a small part of it, maybe a big part of it, it was not measured. It was HBOS. So what we're going to do now is, the story is actually going to go live this week. And what we're going to do is we're going to monitor for long running queries on the database, and we're going to monitor a little bit more about other stuff as well. And so I will have the comparison. The client in this case is not waiting or not expecting for this was before, this was after in terms of the database. It is more expecting, we monitored how the loading time was before we did the change and how loading time will be now. And so we will measure, the website did take 5-6 seconds to fully load in the previous version, and it's now taking less than 1 second. So you as an expert in this area can imagine how much that will affect sales. And so we're just expecting that. As long as the client sees more sales, obviously, for me, it would be very interesting to measure exactly. So 16 gigabytes of database reduced to 4 gigabytes of database was responsible for 40% of the speed of the improvement. And unfortunately, we don't have that data. We were just heads down trying to get everything done and not focused on that, maybe on the next project. I know that you do that a lot. You like to collect all of those data that will serve you for the next client. So, hey, I had this client. It went from here to here. And that is super important, actually. But that's maybe more for performance dev talk later, if Bob wants to say again and likes us talking on the podcast. But the database thing is definitely going to contribute to their overall performance. And like I said, there's a third parties connecting the API and collecting information as well. So all of that will get a lot of benefit.
Avalara wants to make sure that your projects go smooth, and part of that includes doing it right with their API. Their resources cover it all to help your clients manage sales and use, excise, GST, VAT, and other tax types across the US and abroad. You'll find it all on their site, and you'll be learning more on how they can help you during their sponsorship of WooDev Chat. Want to learn more? Just go to developer.avalara.com.
So for me, the most difficult part was to sell this to clients, right? So you had clients that were coming in and saying, yeah, sure, let's do that. How much will that cost me? And I said, well, first we have to do a discovery, and then we have to download the database. We have to play around with it on our local install. And and then we will get to a point where we know which plugins are incompatible, and then we need to fix the plugins, and then we need to run. And then I realized that's not what the client wants to hear. It's just problems after problems after problems after problems. And then they, okay, never mind. I really actually don't want to hear anymore how much this will cost, but it sounds very expensive, so I don't want to do that. What do you think would be your approach? Or would you split into different phases? Would you tell them upfront, maybe it's not possible, I'll do it on my best? What is your approach when you work with clients like that, that come to you and say, hey, I want HBuzz activated?
Yeah, it's a good question, because it's hard for, I think, human beings in general to make decisions on something that will take a lot of resources and energy when there's not enough pain or desire, right? So I think probably the client that you were talking about before, he was more focused on front end performance, right? At least like 6 seconds. I know that's taking a long time. You know, the LCP element, the largest contentful paint, that big, beautiful, right, like header or image, been that slower, it means you're usually making less money. So that makes sense that you were measuring the front end, because he probably didn't have a lot of pain in the back end, would be my guess, right? So when, you know, if you don't have a lot of employees, you know, some people have 5 employees like processing orders constantly, and that's hammering the database a lot. And if they're waiting several minutes for things to complete, that's a lot of pain, and it feels like you're paying employees to sort of sit around and wait. Whereas, so if he didn't have those kind of complaints, it makes sense that that's not the focus of the measurement, right? Whereas on the front end, if he's like, oh, it feels, if he was experiencing when he's browsing around on the site, in the browser, you know, trying to add to cart and do stuff, and he's like, oh, like this is taking too long, that's what, you know, he's going to be focusing on and ask you to fix and measure before and after to make sure. It's like a good insurance policy, right? To be like, hey, look, I have the numbers. Like, this is what it was like before. This is what it was like after.
Right, right.
People can quickly get amnesia, I've noticed. So, if you don't have if the client isn't experiencing anything painful with regards to speed or maybe plugins not being compatible, something like that, then selling it to them is kind of like, it's invisible progress to them is what I call it. Like it's an invisible improvement, because they don't, if it's a small store where they're not going to feel the benefits of HBOS, you know, migration from a database query perspective, like, you know, if it goes from 500 milliseconds down to like, you know, 100, it's probably something they're going to feel super intensely. So it's, yeah, you try to use analogies of like houses or something relatable for people to understand, like just like you mentioned, when you start a new store now, it's like, hey, let's enable HBOS from the get-go. And it's a good analogy to be like, oh, if you're building a house and you know how that house should be built for the purposes that that house is going to have.
And it's
going to
be your family house, like for the next 40 years or 50 years, right?
There you go. Yeah. So you're going to make sure there's space for like the pool, the playground, or, you know, fire pit, whatever stuff your family likes to do. Like, you're going to account for all of that ahead of time. You're not going to just buy a plot of land
and start building away.
Yeah. Just start building randomly. You know, you get something from whatever construction place, just start putting it together without having some kind of, yeah, plan to make sure it's executed well. And when people start to, you know, like the foundation of a house, for example, right? Like that needs to be changed once in a while. Your car, right? Like it has to be maintained, and you know, the engine has to be whatever, tuned up and all that stuff. So things like that, clients tend to have a bit more like, oh, like I know what happens if I neglect, if I don't take my car to the mechanic every once in a while, right? Like, because it's a car and a website have a lot of things in common. Like, we expect it to just do what it's supposed to do, right? Like, I bought it and it's supposed to do this thing forever. Like, I keep putting fuel in it. In this case, you keep giving it internet server resources. It's supposed to just keep doing that thing forever, but
and not ever break. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not ever break. Right. And it's like, well, things need to be, you know, you need to tighten some screws and bolts here. You know, you might need to replace a part or upgrade a part because it got worn out because of excessive use. And so I think when those are the markers of a reasonable and good client for me too, when they can take these on board and be like, okay, like I get that you're not just trying to take my money or do unnecessary work. Like we have the best interests of the client at heart. And, you know, our goal is to help them succeed for the duration of their store's life. Right. So however we can do that and communicate to them, like this is, you know, for the longevity of your store's life. And so that it's going to perform well, be easy to maintain and have less headaches and nonsense going forward that could be avoided if you go through this like slightly painful, you know, might feel like a waste, quote unquote, of money to them. But it's like an insurance policy, I think, going forward to get this stuff done properly earlier.
And then on the other hand, you have those clients who have really problematic websites and they're desperate. And those are actually very a lot easier to sell this to them. And again, we're not trying to impose them something that is just means for us running a couple of command lines and just doing some work, repeated work that we know what we should do and how it gets done and just earn some good money with it. That's not absolutely not the point. The point is really make this website work in a way that is supposed to work from the beginning, right? Because saving data in PostMeta was never intended to be like that. It was just the resources that were available when the plugin was created. And when people realized this is not the best way to save data, well, they probably knew from the beginning, but this is not the best way to save it. Let's change it. Oh, wait a minute. We have 1 million installs. We have a problem in our hands. How are we going to do this, right? So it was definitely too late when they realized, and there were a bunch of people working on different solutions for that. And I did some stuff back in the day, 2016, 17, where we did do a plugin where we just basically created a custom or multiple custom tables for everything that was related to products, customers, and orders. It was a lot more primitive than today's proposal and what we can get with HBOS. But we did find that we had the need to create something back then to help the client have a better experience and the client's customer to have better experience on the website. So we created this thing that was then later bought by iThemes. It was called Sales Accelerator. And it did have a bunch of data stored in different ways in tables. But the main goal of that was to create a good analytics, right? Some good records that it could go back and analyze numbers and collect information about how sales are doing, average sales orders, how the most spending customers, the last sold products, all of that, right? It was very difficult to collect that information from PostMeta and the number of inner joins and all of the parameters. And then you had to query in the PostMeta and the keys and values and all of that. It was for us, developers and experts and programmers looking at that code at SQL queries. I think it would be actually a good Netflix show to show them queries and see how long they would take to figure out without touching any keyboard what that query would do, because they were so unreadable and so difficult to just to generate them and make them work, right? And so now that we have HBOS, and what we did back in the days as well was just we collected a lot of statistical data while we were creating the orders, right? So it makes a lot more sense while the order is being done and created and data is being collected that you do some calculations ahead and store the result on the table, right? And then later on, if you want to consult that information, it's a lot easier. You don't have to do all the sum before you do the statistical data. Everything is already there. So right now, on the current solution, you do have a WooCommerce table that is called, I was trying to figure it out, but it ends with underscore analytics, underscore records. I can't remember exactly, but we have a special table now dedicated to information about total sales, about net sales, about customers and all of that. So it is a lot easier. So my point coming forward now will be, yeah, you maybe won't get a lot faster website. It won't be that much visible of a result. but you get new analytics tools and you get a lot of information that you can collect about your customer that would probably harm your website's performance while you were looking for that data, right? We must remember that whatever work you're doing on the back end, unless you have a very, very good hosting service, whatever long running query you have on the back end is also going to affect the front end, right? So you have customers visiting your website. You don't want to collect information, statistical information, and having this long running queries while customers are visiting your website. So that will be my selling point coming forward. Like, you have a lot more information. It's a lot easier to get billing, shipping information, and collect all of that data, because I think that's a good selling point. That's something that the client wants to see, how well it's performing, and maybe also what is not working, what I need to fix, right? And so maybe we'll see some new plugins coming up that will take benefit of this and put AI on it and do recommendations for how to improve your website and sell more products and things.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. I have a few clients who say that unless you're using Metric, or Metoric is how it's spelled.
Metoric, yeah.
Yeah, like getting detailed intelligence things are very
right
difficult with WooCommerce. So it's really good to hear that they're doing this kind of improvements, because you need insights like that to be able to take intelligent action, right? So even if like they're not going to feel a huge performance, you know, which is one of the, that's how it's been sold, right? To the community, I think it's like, oh, it's going to fix this and clean up the database, but giving these extra bonus features of, you know, data intelligence is super, super valuable. So did these things used to be generated by like SQL sum sort of thing on the fly if you wanted to generate something like this before? Okay, yeah. So now it's just done with PHP on the fly and then stored in as a value in the database instead.
Correct. Exactly. And even total sales, or if you have an order with 30 lines or something like that, you would need to sum them all up to get some total sales as well. And I just looked up the table we're talking about is WC order stats. That's the one that we have information about the number of items sold, total sales, tax sales, the shipping total, net total, if it is a returning customer or not, which is like one of probably the most valuable information ever. And then also it has information about the addresses, which is something like we don't think about that much, but if you have, customers that are doing their own, shipment from their warehouses and all the invoicing and all of that, like billing and shipping information, being easy to collect them and being easy to extend them is super valuable. And, it also feels like, you still get an orders and orders meta table, but it's not like the total amount or the billing email or the stuff that you use more in terms of when you want to know information about an order is inside orders meta. So they've divided this like the most important information they think they still are recording that on the orders table, so on the main table. And the orders meta has done the rest of it, like many third parties. Just meta keys are stored in there and meta values and all of that. One thing that I wish would come in the near future, and something that I've observed when I was looking for ways to do that custom plugin that I talked about that would take all of that functionality from those other plugins, would be for us plugin developers to register just our own metadata. So you get custom tables for all the metadata that belong to WooCommerce. But you as a plugin author, if you want to have your metadata and you want to store your information in regards to whatever activity you do around WooCommerce, you have still to rely on the post meta, right? So if it is something that, I mean, as a plugin author, you could build your own custom table and you could be responsible for creating it and not populating post meta. You would be probably responsible developer thinking about that long term. You want your plugin to be successful and to be used in large scale websites. So you would probably do your own custom table. But nevertheless, there's all these in between the plugin developers who are not thriving for the most sales number, and they do use PostMeta. And so what I would like to see is maybe WooCommerce come up with a solution that would allow you as a plugin developer to register your own meta, and that would create either a custom table for you, it will manage the custom table, or it would be in an environment where you would not use PostMeta somehow, some other solution. Because if you do HBOS and you're happy and now install a plugin that will save three lines in the PostMeta because you have 500,000 orders, you go back to the old problem that you had before. Not as much as you had before, but it's something that it still needs to be accounted for.
I was just wondering if there's a way that we could warn people, or if there's a, you know, if there's something that the WooCommerce core plugin could say, oh, hey, it looks like you just installed this plugin and we noticed it's doing, that probably is a big ask, but it would be, because a lot of, you know, store owners, they are always testing new features. I'm sure you see this all the time, right? They're always looking for a new toy or a new feature that will enhance the user experience or make life easier somehow. And they think, you know, oh, it's just one little plugin, you know, like all plugins are innocent until proven guilty kind of thing. And yeah, like it would be nice if there was some way for people to be warned, like, hey, this, you know, is going to get you what you want, but it's doing this thing in the database, which could give you problems in the future, especially if it's something that, you know, a lot of clients seem to just want to test things to see if, does this have legs? Is this actually going to be effective and help my my business,
right,
you know, goals? And sometimes it's, you know, they try it for a month or two and then they're like, oh, like they just deactivate it and remove it, or, you know, worse, don't deactivate it, leave it on, even though it's, you know, they're not actually using it. And yeah, if there was a like warning labels on plugins, it would be a very, you know, kind of like there is on cigarettes and, like, you know, foods now, right? It would be interesting to see how people would behave, probably still ignoring a lot of them anyway, but at least that would give us a chance as experts to be like, ah, okay, like these are the plugins I need to look at their code and see what they're doing in the database and see how am I going to clean this up for the client, right? So
as long as those notices are not the actual notices that we have, the 1,000 notices on the top of each page on the back end.
Oh, the admin notices.
The admin notices that they will ignore all the time. We learn to ignore them for forever now. I mean, there is a... I don't know what happens if after a conversion you try to install a plugin that is not compatible, or that the WooCommerce script that looks for things that might not be compatible, if it shows up and if it gives you some kind of error, if it even allows you to activate the plugin at all. I don't have that experience. It's actually a good test to do before we do the final delivery this week. Like, try to install one of those plugins who were marked as incompatible while you're running high performance order storage on what it does, if it allows you to even activate the plugin or not. But it's a good point. It's something that we as experts could eventually propose. We have, you know, we have this way of communicating back to the WooCommerce developers team that with tips and recommendations and whatnot. And we are talking to the clients directly, right? So we know what are the problems that we are facing and why this is not getting adopted on a higher rate than it is right now. And making sure that we have clear communication about what is the issue with the plugin, why it's not working, and maybe throw in some tips on how to solve it. Or I know it's very hard because there's millions of plugins out there, but a little bit more information and more transparency in terms of why that plugin is not compatible, would be not compatible, and how it behaves would take a little bit of the anxiety away from shop owners, and it would make our lives easier as well as experts to tell them, hey, this is the official list that is not compatible, and this plugin is not because of this, this plugin is not because of that. I also can imagine that a theme large like this needs to focus on different areas, and this would be probably one of the least interesting areas for them to focus and really give detailed information about plugin incompatibility. Maybe it's something that we can work on and try to figure out how we can detect those kind of stuff. I mean, we have friends who work with security analysis plugins that detect the most obscure and undetectable to the human eye things that are happening to code and create vulnerabilities. But the same logic could be applied to this. I mean, there's a lot of techniques that we can use to scan a plugin and tell them what's not compatible, why it's not compatible, and where it should be fixed, right?
I'm thinking of, like, can I use this, right? Can I use, like, equivalent, right? And then you sort of have a mass aggregated thing that could collect data if people would opt into it during, you know, an HPOS migration test, right? Like, there's something, it feels like there's some possibility there to do something cool that could be really helpful for the community.
Right.
And if you do this test, I'm curious about activating a plugin or trying to install a plugin that is not HPOS compatible. I'd be curious if it doesn't let you activate it in the browser, if you try doing it by a CLI, if it lets you, and then if you take it a step further, editing the active underscore plugins option in the option table and forcing it that way, I really want to see like some kind of admin notice or the, like, where it's just like, no, this is, or it simply won't let it be enabled. But I think, you know, you can always force things in technology in one way or another.
And remember that this client in particular, we're talking about the client that is not going to just go ahead and install a bunch of plugins and just first brute force install them. But this is not the target that we should be focusing on if you want to have a high rate adoption of HPOS, right? Those bigger clients, they have the budget, they have the understanding, they know how things work. They're not the ones who are problematic after the conversion and maintaining this all this running. We're talking about the bigger cut of all the WooCommerce users and customers that are shop owners that built it all by themselves. They don't have the time or the money to spend on experts. And so from when adopting HPOS, they should be somewhat provided with tools that enable them to make the right choices afterwards, right? So, and not mess everything up again. It's very easy to just give up and go back to whatever comfortable situation we had before. And so that's what we want to do. We want to really make sure that we provide them with tools that they know about why it's not possible to install that or work with that. And so that's definitely something that we need to do. But I don't know any can I use website related information in regards to this particular subject out there. Maybe I'm not 100% knowledgeable about that, but that should be a thing that for the listeners to maybe chime in. And I'm not sure if there's any comment section or anything like that in the podcast, but yeah, just reach out and let us know if you found something in regards to how we can test if plugins are compatible or not. The whole thing is about making the customer, our customer, so the shop owner, feel comfortable about when we're going to do this conversion. And now it's the time to do it. This is also something I wanted to use the podcast to just let everybody know. We work in this community and platform called Codable. Codable, we have a lot of experts working with WooCommerce websites, and we have very knowledgeable people there. Special shout out to Edith. She has been talking about HPOS for a couple of years now, and she is really pushing forward every small to big client and all experts to feel comfortable about this. It seems like at the beginning when this was there, there were some hiccups, there were some problems, some issues. I can guarantee now if I can adopt a HPOS in a web store that was launched in 2016 and has 18 million lines in the post meta, and 80%, 90% of them are related to orders. And if that worked, the reasons why they should not work on other websites could only be because of very niche plugins that client needs to install to solve very specific problems that are probably not actually the solution to their problem at all, right?
And the cool thing about Codable too is we have Slack channels where we all share information. We share the challenges that we're facing with clients often, the solutions, and working together. It's a beautiful community and a lot of really smart people there who are very tenacious and really, you know, almost compulsive problem solvers, right? Like we want the answer, we want the solution. And it's, being able to share that with others and help us help clients be happier and have a better life is just super rewarding, right? So definitely a good place to go if you need to find someone who knows what they're doing or will at least do their very best to make sure they know what they're doing, right? So,
right. And as you said, if they don't know 100%, they're not going to do it. They're going to ask other people within our community. And from all the 700-something people that are on the platform, 2, 3, 4 of them will have an experience with that and will let you know about how it went and how it's supposed to go. So definitely super interesting to go there and take a look at that. I was trying to stall this like last minute that we have on our end to actually activate a plugin that we marked as incompatible after our conversion. So I'm just going to click on activate and we're going to see almost live what is going to happen to the website. And we're going to get our answer in 10 seconds, I would say.
Live demos always go well, right? Like blue screen of death for Bill Gates.
Right.
But no one can see your screen, so maybe that removes the curse.
Okay, so it did let me activate, but there's a big notice, an admin notice, go figure.
Okay.
That it has detected some of your active plugins are incompatible with the currently enabled WooCommerce features. Please review the details. So it's not prohibiting you to activate it, but it's definitely signaling that they are not compatible. And then if you go to click on the link that it has on the notice, it goes to the plugins list, and it has a new filter called incompatible with WooCommerce features. And then it enumerates all the plugins that are active and incompatible with the features. Obviously, they're telling features here. We're not 100% sure what they mean. But this only showed up when I activated HBOS. So again, this goes back to transparency, right? It should be like very clear, say, this is not HBOS compatible. And this is why it's not HBOS compatible. I would like to see that in the future at some time.
Yeah, I wonder if there'll be a new setting eventually to like prohibit the activation, you know, where it's sort of like a fail safe, like, hey, don't let people enable plugins that are HPOS incompatible.
Right.
I think that could be a nice thing. And I was just thinking about the can I use thing. Like, I'm thinking about the amount of server resources that get used for scanning incompatibilities, because it's looking at the PHP code, right, is what I'm assuming, right? And if that was, like, if you could instead, like, export your plugin list and submit it to, you know, a can I use WooCommerce equivalent, it could just spit out that report for you instead of having to do a lot of calculations and scanning. There's that conference that we went to, right? The Perf Now? Yeah, Perf Now in Amsterdam. They were talking about the like eco-friendliness of performance, because power, you know, it requires energy, and that uses, it uses like not necessarily clean energy, right? So it's a good thing for the planet potentially as well to be using these kind of alternatives.
As a last comment, I just wanted to take a little bit back what I just said before, that they are not clear about which one is HPOS incompatible. Actually, if you browse through the list of plugins, there is a small new warning saying this plugin is incompatible with the enable featured high performance order storage. It shouldn't be active. So it lets you activate. It warns you it shouldn't be active. It's sort of like saying, now deal with the consequences, right?
Right.
Which is not a good solution.
Do you want the notice to like blink yellow and be more apparent? I'm not seeing what it is like on your side.
It is a yellow notice, like the same shape that you have when there is a new version of something and here's a link to update on the plugins list. You know, when you have this like little red icon saying there's a new version of so such and such plugin, it's the same kind of notice. That's why I didn't see it while I was talking about this before. It sort of like blends in with the rest. And many of the shop owners are really used to see a bunch of yellow warnings on the plugins list and they never click to update, or most of the time they do not update it. So it kind of blends in with the rest. Definitely something to be improved there. We don't want our clients, after they've paid us a bunch of money to activate HBOS, to have issues and come back to say, our orders are not in sync or we're missing information or something like that. So, but we have come a long way, and HBOS is to be installed everywhere.
Yes, Yes, and definitely active for new installations, which I think that's the default, right, when you go through
it that. It is. But yeah, we still have a yeah, that's good. But everybody else, all the millions of sites and all of the billions of dollars that are made through WooCommerce websites, they need to have their information stored in a better way. And HPOS is definitely the solution for that.
Cool.
All right, Mike. It has been a pleasure talking to you.
As always, Marcel. As always.
And I think we should convince Bob to let us come again and talk about something else. I think this is a very interesting format, and I really love talking about this stuff, as you also do, I guess.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So it's cool that we finally got something like this recorded. And, you know, instead of on our way to squash, like we're going tomorrow doing this similar thing in the car, right? We actually record it, and maybe we'll help some people, which is
right,
really cool.
All right. Take care. Till next time.
Hey, Bob WP here. And I'd like to thank Avalara.com for their support. Please consider checking them out. And again, thanks for tuning into Woo Dev Chat. And if you're not subscribed, just visit dothewoo.io/subscribe or find us on your favorite pod player. And remember, you can subscribe to any of our shows directly or hear them all on our full Do the Woo channel feed. And lastly, we welcome your thoughts, insights, and feedback on all of our episodes. Just head over to dothewoo.io and leave a comment. So until the next time.